Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend. A lot of nasty rain and stuff all coming around this past weekend. So other than that, we're back on track. A lot of racing this weekend. ARCA Series, Indy 500, Xfinity on Saturday, Coke 600. After the Indy 500, the only people off this weekend were the NHRA, and they'll be back in action this coming weekend. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed a good weekend. I want to thank all the, in honor of all the people that died in the line of duty protecting our freedom. That's what it's all about. And we thank them for being able to allow us to do the things we do. This is America, the greatest country in the world. All right, then, where do we start? All right, let's start with the General Tire 150 at Charlotte. Was happened on Thursday night. It was the first race of the weekend at Charlotte in the ARCA Series, and Brandon Jones took home the win. Riley Herbst came in second. Sheldon Creed was the third place guy. Todd Gilliland was fourth. Zane Smith was fifth. Quinn Huff, or Huff, was Brett Holmes was seventh. Will Rogers was eighth. Cody Rohrbaugh was ninth. Brandon Lynn, tenth. Travis Braden was 11th. Natalie Decker finished 15th. But Lonnie Munner, another woman in the field, she finished 20th. Natalie Decker started 15th. She drives for Venturini. Leilani the only other two women in the field, our pal, former guest of the show, Sarah Cornett-Ching, was back racing in the Charlotte area. So it's good to see her back on track. She suffered a concussion a couple of years ago and had to step down from her ARCA ride. She was doing quite well, one of the highest finishing in the points women there is. So it was amazing to see her. She finished like seventh. Shauna Robinson was like the highest ever at sixth. And now Natalie Decker is in a fifth place tie in the points. If she can maintain that, she will be the highest finishing woman in the ARCA Series. She's got 290 points to catch the leader. She's a couple hundred back, but hey, you know, first year with a good team, you can't argue with that. And only six starts. She has yet to take victory lane, but looking to get her on the show. So hopefully I'll send out another email to Tommy Venturini and Venturini Motorsports, which has been an ARCA Series staple for as long as I can remember. We used to see the dad Bill race at ARCA in the 80s, so that's, we're looking at two generations of Venturinis and carrying on the family business and always having a good team, so can't complain about that. As far as points go, Zane Smith leads the points after the event. Sheldon Creed is second. Riley Herbst third. Travis Braden fourth. Like I said, fifth place, there's a tie. Chase Purdy and Natalie Decker, even though she's on the second tier, because I guess if they're going with a tiebreaker, she has one top five and two top tens, where Purdy has two top fives and three top tens. So they're probably going in order of finish according to that. Brett Holmes is seventh, Dustin is eighth, Brandon Grasso is ninth, and Khan Yiannopoulos. And they're your top 10 points getters. So if they battle it on, they will be getting the chance to do it all again. ARCA Series next will be up in points. I mean, up in Pocono, opening up for the Cup Series for NASCAR, which they always have in the past. I'm pretty sure that, let's see if Xfinity's on and running a doubleheader. Yes, they are. They'll be running at Pocono this coming Saturday. So it's going to be a tripleheader at Pocono. Again, and of course, ARCA was always the lone warm-up act for the Cup Series on Sunday, and then they run Xfinity in June, and then the second race will have the Truck Series up there and run a doubleheader on Saturday, which is kind of neat for your fans. If you want to get out there, you can head on up to Pocono Raceway up in the Pocono Mountains, the Tricky Triangle. So it'll be pretty interesting to see up there. Anyway, Natalie Decker, believe it or not, after the race on Thursday, went and had hernia surgery. So speedy recovery to her. And hopefully she'll get back. She'll be back. She will be back this weekend. So she'll be back in the track. I guess she had a small tear in her abdomen. So apparently she's been feeling this since Talladega in last month. So she's been given the green light. So she will be traveling with the team at Pocono. Maybe she'll be in the car, doesn't say. But she will be heading to the track. Anyway, NHRA, like I said, off this past weekend, but they will be back in action, and they will be at the Route 66 Raceway in Elwood, Illinois, for the JEGS Route 66 NHRA Nationals. So, looking to increase their points lead will be Steve Torrance in Top Fuel. He's got a 95-point lead over Clay Milliken. Clay Milliken actually looking pretty good this year. Wound up taking the win last time out. And he's going to be battling. And they have to hold off guys like Tony Schumacher in third, Doug Collette fourth, Leah Pritchett is fifth, Terry McMillan, who was in the finals with Clay Milliken, is sixth, Brittany Force, the defending champ, is seventh, and Tron Brown, two-time champ, not a good year for him. Normally he's up near the top, upper end of the points. He's down in eighth, Richie Crampton ninth, and Mike Salinas is in tenth. In the funny car division, Horton Force with a second win in a row. increasing her points lead in the funny car division is up to 80 from 8 last time out over Jack Beckman. Matt Hagen in third spot. Robert Hight, who was the champion last season, we've got a little bit of an uphill battle. He's fourth. I guess Courtney's car is just a little better than his. Of course, they're on the same team, share the same info, and just a matter of who does better and how it turns out. J.R. Todd in the fifth spot. Tommy Johnson Jr. sixth. Ronnie Capps in seventh. Cruz Pedregon in eighth. Sean Langdon in ninth. And Johnny Lindbergh in the 10th spot. Underneath the line, Tim Wilkerson and John Force, 11th and 12th, Bob Tasca. There are probably the only three that I can see that have a shot at making it into the top 10 for the countdown. On the pro stock, Vincent Nobile, Yo Vinny, in the top spot. He's got a 30-point lead over Greg Anderson. Our pal Erica Anders in the third spot. She is two back, so the pro stock division is fairly tight, so she's 32 back. Derek Kramer, who actually won the past time out, is fourth. He's 34 back, so you got that bunch there. Then fifth is Bo Butner, the defending champion, 55 back. Drew Skillman is sixth, Chris McGahey seventh, eighth, Tanner Gray. And those top eight, the furthest one back, Tanner Gray is 80 points back. So that's not far out. The upper tier could sneeze funny going down the track, and that could change. Jason Lyon is in the ninth spot, and Alex Laughlin rounds out the top 10. Just below the line, Jed Coughlin Jr., who's also teammates with Alex Laughlin, Vincent Nobile, and Erica Enders. He's 202 out, but only 10 behind Alex Laughlin. So that could switch. Jed Coughlin being a past champion, he's got a lot of experience under his belt. Pro stock motorcycles. Eddie Krawick and Andrew Hines, the top two, go figure. I always say they're always in the top 10. For some reason, they're that good and their bikes are that good. Those two Harleys are hard to knock off the top. Scotty Polacek, who made it to the final season, third. He's 40 back. Hines is only 25 back. That's basically two rounds of racing or a round in qualifying. So he can make that up. Polacek, that's two rounds. That's three rounds if he wants to take the points lead, but he's going to have to bump off Krawick or Hines. Jerry Savoie in fourth. Former champ Angel Sampe, the winningest woman in the NHRA. She's fifth. Hector Arana sixth. L.E. Tonglet is seventh. Eighth, Hector Arana Jr. Corey Reed in ninth. And Steve Johnson in tenth. The closest one below the line is Matt Smith. He's in 11th. And Karen Stouffer, she's in 12th. They're 170. Oh, and Ryan Oler, she's 172 out. That is only a 7-point gap between Steve Johnson in 10th and the other three. So that could change in the next event, which is coming up this weekend on the Route 66 Nationals. And then after that, believe it or not, the NHRA comes back to Virginia. At the Virginia NHRA Nationals at the Virginia Motorsports Park out near Richmond in North Dinwiddie. And then down my way for the Thunder Valley Nationals. So with three straight weeks of drag racing coming up down in Bristol. the Pro Stock bikes will be back in action at Route 66, but then they got the next two off. So, NASCAR and ARCA at Pocono and NHRA down in Illinois. On to NASCAR. On to NASCAR. Let's go with the biggest race in the biggest race in the world, the Indy 500. Danica Patrick, her last race as a driver. She's as a full-time driver. She didn't full-time it this year. She ran the Daytona 500 and also the Indy 500. She had rides for both. She was driving for Ed Carpenter Racing. And she qualified 7th, which was pretty good. But she wound up spinning and hitting the wall on lap 67. Lap 68, she completed 67. So that ended her day abruptly. She wound up in 30th. Not the way she wanted to go out, but it's kind of like deja vu. Same thing happened at Daytona. She had no help on the track, so I feel bad for her in her last grasp, but figure starting 7th, she would have had a good shot to finish well. But a lot of people were getting loose at the brickyard. But she wasn't the only one who spun out. Seemed to be that certain vehicles were getting loose, and Tony Kanaan did, Takuma Sato. They were all, I was just watching, it was like, spin, spin. Elio Castroneves wound up spinning and hitting the wall, so a lot of cautions. As a matter of fact, 7 cautions for 41 laps. That's a good bit in an open wheel space. And you figure the brickyard, a 2.5-mile rectangular track, 4 separate corners, it's kind of, you know, amazing that when you're qualifying at almost 230 miles an hour, you run pretty high speeds all day long. But in the end, the guy that has won the IndyCar Championship, looking to put the brickyard notch in his belt, winning the BorgWarner Trophy and celebrating with the bottle of milk, driver for Team Penske, believe it or not, go figure. It's usually Penske or Ganassi. I think they have the most wins in IndyCar history. Will Power takes the checkered flag. Ed Carpenter wound up in the 2nd spot. He's his own team owner, so it's good to see him come home 2nd. You probably would have been happy with the win. The 2 leaders at the end wound up pitting and giving Will Power the lead. Of course, Ed Carpenter behind him. Scott Dixon in 3rd spot. Alexander Rossi was 4th. Came from 32nd to finish 4th. Ryan Hunter-Reay rounds out the top 5. Simone Pagenaud finished 6th, Carlos Munoz 7th, Joseph Newgarden 8th, Robert Wickens 9th, Graham Rahal came home 10th. Marco Andretti, who's looking to be put his name on the BorgWarner Trophy, was 12th, would make him the 3rd generation driver to win it. Of course, Grandpa Mario won it in 1969, and Daddy Michael hasn't won it, but Michael's the team owner, so if he wins it as an owner, he'd be happy. I mean, he stepped down from driving. So there's a lot of heritage there in the Indy series. The winning, here's the earnings for Will Power just for taking home that trophy. $2.525 million. Second place is only $911,000. I mean, that's a big drop from first to second. And then second to third is another $400,000 drop, almost $300,000. It's $587,000 for third. So not only that, winning the Indy 500, he'll probably be on every late-night talk show. I know David Letterman used to have him every winter on because David Letterman was a team owner with Bobby Rahal. And, of course, they filled Graham Rahal's car. Now, when David Letterman was the host of the late show, he would always have the Indy 500 winner on after the race, usually the Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, actually, you'd always have the Daytona 500 winner on as well. I mean, say what you want about Letterman. I was not a big – I didn't get his humor, let's put it that way. And but he was a race fan and a team owner, being an Indiana guy native, so he kind of had it. Anyway, the race was almost 3 hours long. Average speed, 166.9. Margin of victory, not even close, 3.15 seconds. 30 lead changes, which is a lot of passing. And like I said, seven cautions for 41 laps. In the point standings, with the win, Will Power takes over the points lead. But close by, Alexander Rossi in second with 241. So there's a two-point gap there. Joseph Newgarden, he's in third. Scotty Dixon in fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay is fifth. Graham Rahal is sixth. Wickens is seventh, Robert Wickens. Sebastian Bourdais is eighth, Simone Pagenaud is ninth, and James Hinchcliffe, who did not make the race. Rounds out the top ten, which is weird. Hinchcliffe, who usually runs really well, didn't make the race. Also not making the race was Pippa Mann, who's probably been in the event just about every year that I can remember. She was a DNQ. Apparently they qualify and they couldn't either get up to speed or get back out in time to take the extra lap. Like I said, your pole winner was Eddie Carpenter. He wound up second, so not too much of a gap. Will Power was started third, which was basically outside the front row. So two of your front three taking the podium, and your second place starter, Simone Pagenaud, wound up sixth. So in the car, will be off for a little bit. As a matter of fact, let's go check, see if I can find their schedule. The next race coming up for them will be this coming weekend, back in action at the Chevrolet Duel in Detroit. Duel 1 will be Saturday. Duel 2 will be Sunday. They run two races in the same weekend. And it'll be called the Detroit Grand Prix So they'll be back in action this week. So it's going to be a pretty busy weekend in racing again with every sanctioning body that we cover here in action. IndyCar, NHRA, ARCA, NASCAR. So, and then IndyCar back in action the week after. So IndyCar, busy month of June. It'll be pretty busy week. Of course, Will Power with the win is his second of the year. So he's looking to expand on that points lead. 2-point lead is tough, and you figure with Alexander Rossi right behind him, going to a couple road courses. Both those guys are used to it anyway. So here's your top finishers, or your points leaders: Penske, Andretti, Penske, Ganassi, Andretti. That's your top five. So, like I said, they're the big teams in the league. On to, let's start with the Xfinity Series on Saturday. Brad Keselowski started from the pole. Wound up taking the win. Of course, he's ineligible for any points. Cole Custer in the Haas Automation Ford, driving, I guess, for Stewart Haas Racing, or they're helping him out. The second, Christopher Bell is third. Ty Dillon is fourth. Elliott Sadler, fifth. Ryan Truex, sixth. Daniel Hemric, seventh. Eighth, Kyle Busch. Ninth, Matt Tift, and 10th is Kaz Grala. Keselowski led three times for 77 laps, and the guy who led the most, who took stage one and two, finished eighth, what I just mentioned, Kyle Busch, four times for 93 laps. So he led almost halfway, led both stages, but didn't take the win. 204 lap event. In other words, we had two overtimes or one overtime with a couple of setups for it. If 21 cars on the lead lap. Race took 2 hours, 49 minutes and 4 seconds. Average speed, 108. Margin of victory under caution. So, caution on the last lap after the last restart. So, it was an official restart because they got past the restart point and the yellow came out. There were 13 cautions for 59 laps, 12 lead changes amongst six drivers. Next race will be Saturday in Pocono. It was, with the win, it was Keselowski's 38th Xfinity Series victory. That puts him one step closer to Mark Martin, who was second with, I think Mark had 54, and then nobody's close to Kyle Busch, who I think needs seven more to get 100 wins. So Kyle's been having a tough time winning in the Xfinity Series since they changed the format. They can only enter so many races this year if you're in the Cup Series. So that kind of makes it a little difficult. Anyway, we have Brad Keselowski and his crew chief, Brian Wilson, in the press room talking about the win.
All right, we'll continue our post-race media availabilities with our race-winning team. We have driver Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 22 Fitzgerald Wider Kit Ford, and crew chief Brian Wilson. Brian, we'll start with you. Why don't you talk about your race strategy and how the weather played into that today?
Yeah, the strategy was kind of all over the place. Definitely an up-and-down day for us. And to be honest with you, when we pitted last for tires, I didn't know that it was the right call. I kind of regretted it at that point. We talked about doing the opposite of the leaders, and I knew that that was the right call. at that point, but I was really hoping it was going to be those guys pitting and we would have a set of tires to put on later on because we seemed to be a really good short run car. But, you know, with the way that circumstance has played out, the red flag, multiple cautions, seemed like it equalized when those guys took their tires. So the rain definitely helped us. It was a tough one to call from that standpoint because the radar, it wasn't like you just had one storm cell. So, you know, typical summer here in North Carolina, you're just you're watching for where the pop-up storms are going to come from.
And, Brad, this is your 38th NASCAR Xfinity Series victory and a timely one. After your team owner, Roger Penske, was just announced as part of the 2019 NASCAR Hall of Fame class. Talk us through your thoughts heading into overtime after that 28-lap run.
Yeah, it's just it's a lot to talk about from today. It's hard to think of a place to start, to be quite honest. Everything that happened there, strategies, and the car handling, and things going on this week with Roger and the Hall of Fame. But so far, it's been a great week. I couldn't ask for a much better start for Memorial Day weekend than to bring home a win. So really proud of everyone on the team, Ryan here, and sponsors, Fisher Gliders, and Ford for, you know, the car that was, you know, well prepared and in a spot to be able to execute a day like today. But I think it was definitely a perseverance day. It was brutally hot out there that maybe just kill it. I usually don't get that hot in a race car, but it was smoking out there. There was a couple times where I swear the car was burning from water and humidity, but, you know, that's just part of the challenge of racing on days like this, and glad to bring it home first, that's for sure.
We'll open it up to media for questions. If you have questions, please raise your hand and we'll bring you a microphone, and please state your name and affiliation. Start in the back with Peter.
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports. Brad, what was your perspective, or what did you see when the 18 had his incident, and did your mindset change after that point?
I didn't see it. It was, you know, behind me. I don't know if my mindset really changed that much. I knew that same things were going to hold true. I needed to execute the restarts. It just needed to be flawless, and, you know, that was really important there at the end, whether it was him or anyone else.
Steve?
Brad, you're the first repeat winner on the Xfinity Series. I mean, does that speak to how difficult it's becoming to win on this series?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of strange that we're, I think, 11 races in and first repeat winner. You know, it's the tale of two cities there between here and Cup, where there's been a lot of repeat wins. But, you know, it's my second race in this car, and it's been good. Just looking to keep it rolling.
We'll go Hakeem, Kenny, and then Jacob.
Hakeem Balaam, Independent Tribune. Kind of a little bit of a two-parter. First of all, you know, with this win, you know, just mention a little bit, if you could possibly, you know, ride this momentum into tomorrow night, and also, you know, as far as, you know, on the rest of the Xfinity circuit and Cup circuit, possibly for the future, how this could play into.
Oh, it's good. It's, you know, winning is a good thing for a driver's psyche. It's a good thing for a team's psyche. It gets everybody kind of up in our heels. It's interesting when you win one or two times, everybody gets better. And it feels like when you win like six or seven times, everybody gets a little worse because it, you know, maybe you take it for granted. But when you win one or two times early in the season, you know, the team starts to really build confidence, and they seem to, you know, look a little bit harder for that last little bit that it really separates good from great. And that's so important is to not settle for good and to reach for great in a sport. And so I look at that today, and I see that's where this team is on the Xfinity side, and hopefully they can keep it rolling. That's the biggest challenge for Brian and the team. But for me, on my side, it's certainly good, good timing. We didn't have a great run in the All-Star race, and nice to go out there and put down some good laps here and have a good show.
And there you have Brad Keselowski. On for the main event of the NASCAR weekend, the Coke 600. It wasn't even close. Winning all four stages, because there were more than just two in the Coke 600. There were four, I mean, more than three. There were four. One every 100 laps was the end of the stage. Then leading four times for 377 laps. Taking the checkered flag for his first ever points win in the Cup Series at Charlotte Motor Speedway, giving him a win at every track the Cup Series goes to? Kyle Busch. I know there's a lot of people that don't like him. I know there's a lot of people that do like him. Of course, yeah, I think his attitude in his younger days would rub people the wrong way. But you can't deny the guy's style. I mean, talent. He basically went out and did it. He started from the pole, so basically it was a flag-to-flag win. I think the only one who led more laps in a win, Coke 600, was the second-place finisher a couple of years ago, who led 392 of the 400 laps, and that was Martin Truex. Denny Hamlin led a measly 9 laps. Truex didn't lead any this year, but he did finish second. He was running well. I think I was picking him to win, but, you know, my picks have been a little off this year. I mean, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick were kind of like stinking up the field. I think they have, out of 13 races, they've got 9 wins. And I'm not even counting the all-star win that Harvick got last week. So, it's not a young crowd coming up that's doing it. It's the older guys getting it done. Brad Keselowski finished fourth. Jimmy Johnson, who used to own Charlotte back when they were, for some reason when they were sponsored by Lowe's, he used to win there. But ever since they went back to Charlotte Motor Speedway, it's been a Toyota track. Austin Dillon did win the race last year, but he only led like the last lap or two. But this time, Kyle Busch didn't do anything wrong, stayed out of trouble, did have a slow pit stop on the first pit stop, but the other 7 they took were spot on. He didn't give up the lead at any time. When you lead, see anybody? And Joey Logano was the only one to lead double-digit laps other than Kyle Busch, and he only led twice for 12, and Logano started second. And most of Logano's wins were in the beginning of the race. So Kyle Busch accomplished a feat that I think I wonder if anybody else has. I have to go look in the history books for that. But anyway, kudos to him. Jamie McMurray wound up 5th. Kyle Larson was 7th. Pretty good for him. He spun a couple times, and of course he didn't damage the car too bad. He wound up coming back for 7. Kurt Busch was 8th. Alex Bowman 9th. Ricky Stenhouse rounds out the top 10. There were 40 cars in the lead lap. Kevin Harvick wound up hitting the wall on lap 83. And that ended his day because he was battling for the lead, too. He never led any laps, but man, he started 39th. He battled his way all the way back into the top 5. And then tire went down and into the wall he went, put him out. So he wound up finishing 1 spot worse than he started, 40th. With the win, it was Kyle's 47th Monster Energy Cup Series win. 11 cautions for 54 laps. 9 lead changes amongst 4 drivers. And it was pretty, like I said, pretty one-sided. And you figure 3 of those cautions were stage enders. So, as a matter of fact, let's see, when did they come out? Lap 102, stage 1 conclusion. That was 5 laps. 2, that was 3 laps conclusion there. All right, that was another 5 laps. Let's see. And then the other one will be, another 5 laps at the end of stage 3. So 15 of those 54 laps were the stage enders. Pretty clean race. It took 4 hours and 23 minutes. It ran a little over, but it was such a dominating performance that it would have gone longer than that. There were only 9 cars on the lead lap, Alex Bowman in 9th being the last guy to do that. Kyle Busch was stinking up the field, and that's just the way it goes. Let's see. Oh, I forgot to go to the points on the Xfinity. Let's bring that back up real quick. Your points leaders are Elliott Sadler in the top spot, Christopher Bell second, Tyler Reddick third. Both Bell and Reddick have wins. Sadler doesn't. Daniel Hemric fourth, Cole Custer fifth, Justin Allgaier sixth, Brandon Jones seventh, Ryan Truex eighth, Matt Tift ninth, 10th Spencer Gallagher, Ryan Reed in 11th, and Austin Cindric is in 12th. They all have win, and actually in 22nd, Ryan Preece, who's not running a full schedule, has a win. So, but he's ineligible for the playoffs. So if it had to be seeded, it would be Bell, Reddick, Allgaier, Spencer Gallagher, and actually Spencer's not in the car right now because of failed the NASCAR substance abuse thing. So he would normally be in the car, so he might be in the playoffs. I don't know. He's suspended indefinitely, so he might not make it back in time. I wonder if his dad is having somebody fill in for him for points. That's possible. Matter of fact, let's check the owner's points and find out. GMS Racing in the 23 car in 11th spot. So that might. And there's 5 playoff points involved for the win. So we could be in there. We don't know. Now, let's go to our sound. And pick up our winning team of Joe Gibbs, Adam Stevens, and Kyle Busch. I wish they'd separate them and just put the driver by itself.
We're now joined in the media center by our race-winning owner, Joe Gibbs, and crew chief, Adam Stevens. To both of you guys, knowing how hard Kyle's worked to win a Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series points right here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, what does tonight's win mean to you guys and the team? Start with Coach.
Yeah, I think for the team, I just appreciate everybody that's a part of our family. The racing family, all the guys at the race shop, a lot of them don't get to come to the racetrack and get to experience this. Appreciate JD, the leadership that we have with everybody there. And it's just a total family effort. And tonight it was a total team effort. I mean, Adam just did a great job calling things. Our pit crew was great. It's a team sport, as everybody knows. And I got to tell you, Kyle's just when he puts a helmet on race day, I think he's one of those unusual people, and he has unusual talent. To be able to do what he's done at the age he is, it's just special. I appreciate the way he and Adam have teamed up in a relationship. We appreciate Toyota, everybody in the background. When you think about M&Ms, we know in our sport, you got to have a great sponsor, and we have the Mars Corporation, which has been in the sport for a long, long time, a big part of the sport. We appreciate them so much. And we have Interstate Batteries, Norm Miller and Scott and everybody down there. So we're blessed to have great sponsors that are a big part of our sport. And they were in this race. They were on the car and in the race for 4 hours tonight. It was special and a great night for us. And Lord bless us with a great group of people.
Adam?
Yeah, I mean, just for me, at the team here, we've been so close to getting Kyle a victory at Charlotte. You know, I feel like we had the car to beat this race last year and got snookered on fuel mileage there. And today to kind of come out in the dominant fashion and win all the stages from the pole and keep him out front, grew to do such a good job and be able to keep up with the track and kind of close that gap maybe that we've been missing speed here to some of our competitors felt really good. It's important for me to help Kyle accomplish his goals, and this was a big one for him and makes the victory a little bit more sweet.
All right, with that, we'll now open for our first question up there.
Link of characteristics.
I think I might have found Kyle's.
Link of characteristics. It's just pure jubilation from your standpoint.
Yo, absolutely. It's,
thank you.
Turn the mic on, Kyle.
And with that, we're joined in the media center by our race winner, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's red, white, and blue Toyota. Kyle, as you undo your shoes there, the stat says it all. The only driver in NASCAR to win at every track he's raced on. How does that feel to finally have that accomplishment?
Well, somebody already had to give me the bad news and tell me it's only for 100 days, so that sucks. But, you know, certainly pretty cool tonight and having the opportunity of what I've been able to do and what I've been able to accomplish. We've been talking about it here in this room for a few years now, and we've come oh so close a few times, but was able to finally close the deal out tonight. So good win here in Charlotte. It's everybody's backyard, they always say, and, you know, we live just down the road, so it's so cool to spend a couple weeks at home and to have the family here. And Brexton's birthday, I missed the opportunity to win on his birthday, the truck race last week, so hopefully this repays him a little bit for that. He was pretty jacked in victory lane, so he was, yeah, I don't think he cared. He was excited regardless, so just a phenomenal night, though. Adam Stevens and everybody on this show gives racing Toyota was just on it. And that M&M Camry was fast and wanted to stay up front. And, you know, it was pretty easy to do that with something driving so good.
And with that, we'll open it up to questions in the media center. We'll start up here with Brendan and go Mike.
Hey, Brendan Marks from Charlotte Observer. Congratulations, first off. Adam said that for him at the end of the race, it got to the point where you had been so dominant throughout that there was almost a feeling of relief. And the checkered finally fell. Did you have any of that, or was it just pure jubilation from your standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, when you're running down those last 40 laps or whatever, it's just what's going to happen? What's going to go wrong? You're basically hoping that none of the other cars hit the wall, or nobody spins out, or nothing stupid happens in order to cause a caution, because you have you know, a decent sized lead, and you just want to hold that. And I knew I was kind of giving up a little bit of lap time, and Martin was kind of closing on us a little bit there when we were getting through traffic. But that's just, when you have a lead like that, you got to take care of your car. You got to take care of the situations you put yourself in. And so that's what we were doing there. Our car was phenomenal all night long. We just didn't want to force any issues there with it late in the going. And if there was anything that kind of would cause a late dash for cash, if you will, that we were ready to go for it.
There you have Kyle Busch. So another 100 days and they have a track that he hasn't won on. That's because I think in October, they go back to Charlotte, but they won't be running the oval. They'll be running the road course, so and that'll be in the chase, so that's going to be kind of interesting. So, and that's only a one-a-year thing now, so figure 600 miles in, on Memorial Day and then the road course in October. Matter of fact, as far as the points go, with the win, Kyle takes over the overall points lead. but it's his fourth win of the season. But that only puts him second in the seeding because, for now, I'll say for now, the season isn't over yet because Kevin Harvick has 5 wins. Like I said, Harvick and Busch have 9 wins so far. Kyle Busch leads Kevin Harvick by 1 playoff point, and that's because they won 3 stages prior to the win Sunday. Usually you only have 2 stage wins, so that extra stage win winning at the end of all the stages gives him a 1-point playoff point lead, and that comes into play when you make the playoffs. It helps Martin Truex stay in the game last season when he took his championship. And, of course, he went on to win at Homestead to win the championship. Joey Logano is the meat in the sandwich there with 1 win. He's in second. That'll put him ahead of Martin Truex Jr. in the seeding. Brad Keselowski is in the 4th spot with 0 wins. Truex in 5th with a win. Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch in 6th with 0 wins. Denny Hamlin in 7th. 8th, Clint Bowyer. Kyle Larson, 9th. Haruka Almirola, 10th. Ryan Blaney, 11th. Jimmy Johnson in 12th. Eric Jones, 13th. Alex Bowman, 14th. Chase Elliott, 15th. And at the bottom of the bubble, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. But Paul Menard is only 33 points behind that. Now, if you had to run the seeding, it would be Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Martin Truex, and Clint Bowyer. They're your only race winners this year. So everybody else is on straight-up points, which would bump Brad Keselowski down to the 6th spot, and everybody else without a win below him. So it gets pretty interesting now to see where it goes. Now we go on to Pocono. This race last year was won by Ryan Blaney, who led once for 10 laps, so he led pretty much just the end of the race. Kyle Busch led 100, started from the pole, and led 100, which is half the race. More than half the race. It's only a 160-lap race. It's only 400 miles. They did shorten it. It used to be a 500-mile race, but that changed. So, that being said, Eric Jones led 20 laps, so, and Brad Keselowski led 11. So, your big double-digit lap leaders was Kyle Busch with 100, Eric Jones with 20, Brad Keselowski with 11, Ryan Blaney with 10, but he led the most important one, did not win any stages on that, and took home the checkered flag. And Kyle Larson with 9, and then in race number 2, a couple months later, Kyle Busch took the win. He only led 74 laps, but he did win a stage, so it's going to be a tough call. 74 out of 160 laps. It's not quite half, but he didn't need it. And Martin Truex led 31 laps, so he was your second most lap leader. I don't know. I think Truex is not having the luck he did last year. So it's kind of hard to see who I'm going to pick for this one. I went with Truex last time. Kyle Busch won this time, and then, I think it's going to be back to a Ford. I'll go with, I don't know who to go with. Brad Keselowski's done well. Let's see, where did Blaney figure out in the second race? Not so good. He started 5th, though. Oh, well, let's see where we go from here. Anyway, I'll go with Kevin Harvick on this one just because I haven't picked him in a while. And he had bad luck at that one, and he does good at this one anyway. So Kevin Harvick for the win at Pocono. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. We'll see you all next week. good day and good racing. Bye now.